It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll reach back into the history books to see how a blue state turned red and a red one turned blue.
I mean, saw the first waves of people who came to live in California. They were from the Midwest and then later from the Dust Bowl. And they brought their Midwestern values and Midwestern voting habits with them.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Here are two messages you can read from the midterm elections. Candidates in California were rewarded for opposing President Trump. Critics like California's new governor Gavin Newsom won big. But in a red state like West Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin was returned to office for embracing the president and siding with him on key issues. So how did we get here?
Welcome to Red State, Blue State.
The weekly conversation between Trump country and the blue bubble.
I'm Cherry Glazer from KCRW in Santa Monica, California.
And I'm Trey Kay, host of the Us and Them podcast, coming to you from West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You know, I think a lot of people here in West Virginia and maybe some of the other flyover states think of California as a sort of beehive of liberals. It's the home of big-name Democratic donors in Hollywood, and they think that that's the way that it's probably always been.
But you know, Trey, it hasn't. I mean, if you look back over the past century, Californians elected Republican governors 75% of the time, and they backed Republicans for president more than half the time. To get some insights into the Golden State's political evolution, I sat down and talked with Warren Olney. He's a longtime reporter and anchor and a KCRW host. He grew up in Berkeley, and he's had a front row seat on California politics basically ever since.
Well, Berkeley was a pretty conservative place at that time. When my sister announced that she was marrying a Democrat, and my now brother-in-law came to dinner, when he announced that he was a Democrat, my grandmother dropped her knitting.
I see. So that was pretty dang radical.
That was a big deal.
But why was California so conservative during that era?
Well, you got to go back to the early days. I mean, saw the first waves of people who came to live in California. They were from the Midwest and then later from the Dust Bowl. And they brought their Midwestern values and Midwestern voting habits with them. Back then, many of the business heavy hitters who helped to build the state were conservative. You know, think big oil, railroads, even some of the early movie studio heads. Hollywood was powerful, and at that time it was more red than blue. Plus, Trey, remember how I was saying that Californians elected mostly Republican governors for decades?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Warren breaks it down this way, from the 1940s right up to the Reagan era.
Earl Warren ran for governor three times, succeeded all three times. The second two times that he ran, he was nominated by both parties, both Republicans and Democrats. There was what was called cross-filing, which as soon as the Democrats took over the legislature, they eliminated, so that would never happen again. He was succeeded after he was appointed Chief Justice by Republicans who were not particularly successful. And after that came Pat Brown, who was a Democrat. And he served two terms, tried to run for a third. He was defeated by Ronald Reagan. But even when Reagan was governor, he wasn't Ronald Reagan as we remember him today. He signed a therapeutic abortion bill, for example. He signed a tax increase in California, even though he always said that taxes should hurt. He began to be more idealistically inclined, and his speeches became more conservative as time went on, but he was succeeded by Jerry Brown, who, of course, was a Democrat.
For a good stretch there, it was Republicans in the House.
Yeah.
So what happened? How did things change?
Well, there were lots of things going on. I mean, for starters, during the 1980s, the Cold War comes to an end. And thousands of people in California's aerospace industry, you know, defense contractors and so on, who might tend to be more conservative, well, they're laid off and saw them leave the state. And then in the early 1990s, there's a political earthquake.
They keep coming. 2 million illegal immigrants in California. The federal government won't stop them at the border, yet requires us to pay billions to take care of them.
Conservatives put a measure on the state ballot called Proposition 187. It got a lot of national attention at the time. It called for banning undocumented immigrants from receiving basically most kinds of state benefits. And many immigrants who might have leaned Republican because of their social or religious values ended up leaving the GOP. So, Trey, you put all those changes on fast forward, both demographics and politics, and basically you have modern day California. You know, here on the left coast, we think of West Virginia as being solidly Republican through and through, while the places Donald Trump really likes to visit. But was it always that way?
No, it wasn't. In fact, there was a time, and it really wasn't that long ago, when West Virginia was solidly blue. And to find out more about this history, I spoke with Billy Joe Payton. He's a professor of history at West Virginia State University.
By the 1920s, 1930s, we were a very strong labor state. Labor unions, by that point in time, typically backed Democrats. The Depression hit West Virginia and coal mine country earlier than it did the rest of the country, and in many ways harder. A lot of mines closed, a lot of miners were without work. And when FDR came along, his New Deal policies were embraced by West Virginians. West Virginia, in the federal election of 32, voted for FDR. And this was a period when over 100,000 West Virginians were coal miners.
In the 1950s, that started to change when more machinery was brought into the coal mines and the number of coal mining jobs started falling. It was a sign of things to come that Democrats' hold over state politics was at least beginning to weaken.
In the late 60s, early 70s, when the counterculture movement was in its strongest form, West Virginia remained very traditional and very conservative. And, of course, the civil rights movement was waged here as it would be everywhere else. But I think Democrats had more in common with what Richard Nixon would eventually call the silent majority of voters, or another term, middle Americans. Politics has changed elsewhere, but West Virginians have sort of remained true to their roots, if you will.
But not before the 1960 presidential election and JFK. Billy Joe Payton made a really important point about JFK. He says that for West Virginians, having a politician, and especially a president, visit the state is huge. And he remembers when President Kennedy came on the state's centennial birthday back in 1963.
My mother dragged my sister and I to hear the president. And I was a six-year-old kid, sort of, you know, half understanding what was going on. I knew that there was a president here. But Kennedy made a speech, and he closed his speech. It was a rainy day, and I remember it was dreary, and everybody had an umbrella, and the president had this multicolored, sort of rainbow-colored umbrella that he was under. And he said, "The sun doesn't always shine in West Virginia, but the people always do.
But I know of no state, and I know this state well, whose people feel more strongly, who have a greater sense of pride in themselves, in their state, and in their country than the people of West Virginia. And I'm proud to be here today."
And for the first time in my life, I felt a sense of pride in being West Virginian, because this man, the president, was complimenting us and complimenting me, and I felt a personal connection.
So do you think Donald Trump has kind of taken a page out of that playbook? Is that something Trump's done right as far as West Virginia voters are concerned?
I think that you're on to it, Cherry. I think it's really something.
So I am thrilled to be back with all of my friends in the great state of West Virginia. Thank you. And the people of West Virginia, they're loyal, they're hardworking, they're true American patriots. Remember that.
You know, Cherry, when Billy Joe Payton said that Kennedy was something that stuck with him for the rest of his life, I sometimes wonder what some West Virginians are feeling now and if they have that similar connection with President Trump.
And I guess we'll see if President Trump keeps visiting West Virginia over the next couple of years. Thanks, Trey.
You know it, Cherry, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Cherry Glazer of KCRW in California, speaking with West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Trey Kay in the latest episode of Red State, Blue State, our weekly chat between Trump Country and the Blue Bubble. This is one of several conversations that we've been having, and we want to hear from you. What's the most important issue in your neck of the woods? Visit us at wvpublic.org to share your thoughts. BitLogic is the latest release from road-tested blue-collar rockers Bottle Rockets, who have been visiting Mountain Stage since 1995. In their ninth appearance on the show, the Missouri-based group performed a big chunk of their new album, including Stovall's Grove, our Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
I know the place to congregate right here in the show me state. Real honky tonks are hard to find, but 5 miles off of 109 sits Stovall's Grove. Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove. Been there since 1935. It's a little ways out, but worth the drive. Bands play old stuff, jukebox new, but country music's all they do. Stovall's Grove, Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove. We'll drink and dance and shoot some pool. Bring some cash, cause they're old school. That single toilet ain't so great. There's woods out back if you can't wait. Step, 10-step, better stand clear. They'll mow you down, they'll spill your beer. They're scootin' boots from 8 till close. Hillbilly heaven, heaven knows that Stovall's Grove. Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove. Stovall's Grove, Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove. Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove. Stovall's Grove, Stovall's Grove ain't much better than Stovall's Grove. Ought to get together at Stovall's Grove.
That was the Bottle Rockets with Stovall's Grove live on Mountain Stage. To hear their full performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.